You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, the service today is a little bit different. I'm not going to preach a normal sermon, but instead I'm going to give you some additional information about each of the readings. Something to keep in mind as I look at the readings today, and something I urge you to do to keep in mind anytime you hear or read or study the Bible, and that would be to keep asking two particular questions. What does this mean? And then keep asking, how does this apply to my life? Imagine trying to get directions from someone to go from point A to point B, and they gave you the directions, but if you didn't understand them, could you get from point A to point B? You couldn't. If you didn't know how to apply them, if they said turn right and you didn't know what a right turn was, that wouldn't do much good. Or if you understood them, but you didn't actually take the right turn, would you get to where you needed to go? It just would not work. So God wants us to not just be in the Word or hear the Word or go through the motions, but He wants us to keep asking, what does this mean? And then how does it apply to my life? And then, with the blessing and power of God, to actually make the application. At this time, let's go on to our first hymn stanza. Today's Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 35. Before we get to the reading itself, I want to give you a little bit of background information on what Dr. Luther wrote about the book of Isaiah. This is what he wrote. You must divide the prophet Isaiah into three parts. In the first part, like the other parts, he handles two things. This is Dr. Luther talking about Isaiah. First, he preaches a good deal to his people and rebukes their many sins. He also keeps the people in check with threats of punishment and promises of good. Think about in a hockey game how sometimes they check the other player. What does that mean? They drive them into the wall. So sometimes when you hear the law, it's kind of like being driven right into the wall. But it gets your attention, though, doesn't it? Well, that's what God does sometimes through Isaiah. And then Luther also continued to write, second, he prepares them to expect the coming kingdom of Christ, of which he, that is Isaiah, prophesies more clearly and in more ways than any other prophet. In the second part, Dr. Luther writes, Isaiah has to do especially with the empire of Assyria and the emperor Sennacherib. So keep in mind, back at the time of Isaiah, that is when Assyria, they were the world power. So they're the ones who are going to wipe out the northern kingdom of Israel. And then after them, the Babylonians become the world power. And they're the ones that God is going to use to wipe out the southern kingdom. And why did God do that? Because of the great sin and disobedience greater in the northern kingdom, they went first, also bad in the southern kingdom, and they went second. And then Dr. Luther continues in the third part, Isaiah has to do with the empire at Babylon. Here he prophesies of the Babylonian captivity, whereby the people were to be punished and Jerusalem destroyed by the emperor at Babylon. So that's a summary of really the entire book of Isaiah from Dr. Luther. And then, what does today's Old Testament reading mean? Isaiah wrote about the first coming of the Messiah, when he would confirm his identity with many miracles and remove the sins of the world. Also, in today's reading, it's pointing ahead to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we could say, in a sense, that with the first coming of the Messiah, that gives us a taste of what is coming with his second coming, but it's not yet. With the second coming, then, for all who trust in him, they're going to have the fullness of eternal life. God wants us to know that in Christ, we have it now, but not the fullness of it yet, but that is coming. So think about all those things as I go down through this reading. Also, too, how do these things apply to us? Well, let us first of all be sure that Jesus is the Messiah. Let us always trust alone in him for heaven, never in us. Let us tell others the good news about who he is and what he has done, and let us look forward to much greater blessings which are yet to come. Here's the reading from Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. We come now to Psalm 146. When we think about the Psalms, there are a total of 150 of them. So today's Psalm number 146 is the first of the final five. What does that mean? The final five are what we call Hallelujah Psalms or Praise the Lord Psalms. What does a psalm mean today? You'll notice maybe the most important part of it tells us to not trust in any man. No matter how great he might seem, don't trust in any man. Why? Because every man is limited, and eventually every man will die. Instead, we are called to trust in the Lord, who is unlimited and is able to bless us now and forever. How do we make application here? By doing the things I just said. Let's go on to the psalm at this time. Thank you to Harold for leading us through it. Today's epistle reading is found in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. What did James address in the first part of chapter 5 before we get to our reading today? Understand that in that section, James condemned people who are wealthy. Sometimes when we hear the word wealthy, we might think of people who are much different than we are, but understand, though, in the scope of the entire world, we are all in the category of being the wealthy ones. So don't think it's somebody else. We indeed are wealthy. And what did he condemn them for? Because they were living as if this life is all there is. Now, we're not completely doing that because we're gathered here today, but can we think and do such things sometimes in our lives, living as if this is all there is? And also, too, he condemned them for living as if Christ will not return. Sometimes we can also, I believe, fall into such things. And then, what does today's epistle reading mean? James is calling us to be patient, to suffer long, and to not give up no matter what. Why should we do such things? Because Jesus' coming is near, because Jesus could return at any moment, and because the Lord is compassionate. What does that mean? He cares about us. Because the Lord is merciful. What does that mean? He held back the punishment that we deserve, and he has already released it upon his Son. How do those things apply to us? Knowing the Lord is aware of our circumstances, knowing that he does, in fact, care about us, knowing that he will come at the right time to take us home, may we always keep trusting in him. May we always keep benefiting from the Bible, even every day, and may we keep waiting patiently until we finally have that blessed fullness of eternal life. This is what James wrote, chapter 5, picking up in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. The word of the Lord. Today's gospel reading is found in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 2. Before we get to the reading itself, think back to last week for a moment. So we focused on John the Baptizer, and what was he doing? He was preparing the way for Jesus to come to begin his ministry, and he was doing so by calling the people to repent, by calling them to be sorry for their sins, to know they could not fix it, and to look to the coming Messiah who would take away the sin of the world. Also, too, as we come to our reading today, keep in mind now that things have changed because Jesus has now begun his ministry and John is now in prison. So things are much different than they were last week. What does today's gospel reading mean? In the first part, John sent his disciples to Jesus to make sure that he is the promised Messiah. Isn't that such an odd thing? Think about it. John is the one, when he was baptizing and Jesus was coming to him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And now he's wondering, is this the guy or not? How could that be? Does it make any sense? But try to imagine though being John. Can any of us open the Bible and turn to a particular place and say, look, right here, it's talking about one particular person, and I am that person? Can any of us do that? We can't. But for John, though, turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and it talks about a particular person who would come and who would be a voice of one calling in the wilderness. That's John. So think about John. John had to know of his great importance, that he is that one person that was written about 700 years before he was born, and yet he is that one. So he's doing his work, he's being diligent, he's out there in the wilderness, life is hard. But maybe he's thinking, though, once the Messiah comes on the scene, I'm going to be kind of his right-hand man, and we're going to work this together, we're going to do our ministry together, and it's going to be an amazing thing. And yet, the Messiah comes on the scene, and now John is in a miserable prison. And maybe because of that, he's thinking, this doesn't make any sense. And is he really the guy? Or am I mixed up here about this? So maybe that's what was going on. Is life sometimes so hard for us that we're wondering, God, are you really there? Is this Bible really your word? Do you really have a plan here? Are you really at work in the world? Sometimes people can come to that point, and maybe John did too a little bit. First of all, as I read here in a moment, take note that when Jesus was questioned, he didn't simply give a verbal answer, but he pointed to the men and said, "Tell John what you see and tell him what you hear." So we know that actions speak louder than words. Also, too, here, regarding John and regarding how he was possibly feeling in that prison, Jesus said, "Blessed is he who does not fall away on account of me." See, John was where he was because of his faithfulness to God, because he proclaimed the word of God no matter what, because he stood on the truth of God and would not waver no matter what. That's why he found himself in that miserable situation. Well, Jesus was saying to him, "You're suffering because of me, but don't give up no matter what. Stick with it. Don't give up, and one day God's going to bless you forever and ever." God wants us to know the same thing. No matter how difficult things might seem, God is saying, "Stick with me, don't give up, no matter what." This is what the first part of our gospel reading says here in Matthew chapter 11. "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Just one more point on what I read there. So Jesus did say that the poor have good news preached to them. Not people who are necessarily poor in a financial way, but people need to know that they are beggarly poor spiritually, even spiritually dead, because if they don't know that, they're not going to have any interest in Jesus Christ. So the law of God has to do its work to show people their lost and helpless condition. And also people need to know that the standard God has set is as high as heaven for us, and no one can obtain it. And once people know the law and they know how high the standard is, and they are ready to completely despair and give up all hope, then they are ready for the gospel. Then they are ready for Jesus Christ. In the second part of this reading, Jesus spoke to the crowd about John. So I'm going to read that in a moment. But he said, though, that John was not like a reed blowing in the wind. So think about something very light and it's standing upright on a day with no wind. but now the wind is blowing this way and it's bending this way, and then the wind is blowing this way and it's bending over this direction. Jesus was saying, John is not that way. John has taken his stand on the unchangeable word of God, and John is not wavering on anything. That's the kind of person he is. May God help us be the same. And then, John was not a man who had the finer things of life. We know he was dressed in a very rugged manner. We know his food wasn't something that we would really care to eat. He didn't have the pleasures of this life, but John was the prophet. Now, not the prophet from the book of Deuteronomy, but the prophet mentioned in the book of Isaiah, who would come as the forerunner of Christ and prepare the way. So John, very, very important, and we're going to see what Jesus says about him here. So let's read it now, picking up in verse 7. It says, as they went away, talking about the disciples of John, as they went back to him, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I will send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. In the third and final part here, Jesus is going to mention a couple difficult things, so let me try to explain them a little bit now so you can understand them when you hear them. First of all, Jesus is going to say that John is both the greatest and the least. How could he be both the greatest and the least? Jesus wants us to understand that he is the greatest because he is that one prophet that was written about and then sent to prepare the way right before the coming of the very Messiah, the promised Savior of the world. But he's also the least in comparison to people like you and me. How are we greater than John the Baptizer? We are greater than John because we know and we believe that Jesus went to the cross, that he really suffered, that he took our sins, that he took our punishment, that he laid down his life, that he was raised on the third day, that he ascended on the 40th day, that he's coming again. John died before any of that happened. So we are greater than John because by the grace of God, we know and believe those very important things. Jesus also made a difficult statement about violence and force. Kind of a difficult part of the Bible to understand here, but really what it means is that those who are brought to the knowledge of their sin, those who are brought to the knowledge of their own helplessness, those who are brought to the knowledge of Jesus' saving work, those who know about Jesus' coming return, those people are enabled and they are moved by God to grasp Jesus Christ and to have him as Savior. Imagine you're in a very difficult situation. You're dangling by a thread. You're about ready to fall 40 stories to your death, and someone puts a heavy rope there right in front of you that you're now able to grab onto. Are you going to continue to hang on to the thread, or are you going to grab the heavy rope and get pulled to safety? You're going to grab that heavy rope, aren't you, and get pulled to safety. That's a little bit what it's talking about here, I think, that once people know of their difficult situation and they know what God has done and God is enabling them to be able to grab Jesus Christ, then they do. And they're not going to let anybody stand in their way in order to do that because they know he is their lifeline for now and forever. As we think about God at work in our lives, let us know that he's inside of us and he's at work constantly changing our minds, our hearts, and the way that we function in our lives. May he grant us such things always. Here's the final part of the reading from Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please arise? Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.